today is finish our talking about ways to bring sacred moments into our regular day-to-day lives. We started talking about this 2 weeks ago, and we did some ideas, and we're going to continue talking about more. And if these things don't work for you, then don't do them. It's just a whole bunch of ideas about ways to bring the presence of God, and more importantly, the awareness of the presence of God into your everyday life. I mean, God is always with us. It's the reminding us that God is with us. So picking up some things, 1 minute Sabbaths are great ways to do this. So when you find yourself getting stressed, set, and I do this with Alexa, but you can do it with anything. Set a timer for 1 minute and stand up and stretch. And one of the things you can do is just say, I am breathing in God's love. I am breathing out worry and fear. And a minute is a lot longer than you think it is to do that. That's why I suggest setting a timer. You can read a song, either on your phone or, and I actually, this is something that Alexa can do if you have like a smart speaker. I will sometimes say, Alexa, read me Psalm 21. And she'll do that.
How does Alexa look up Psalm 21?
I don't know.
Okay. It's what the Bible Gateway did has the Bible and every version of it. You know,
but yeah, she's connected to the internet and all of that. So, or another way to do it is to focus on all of the sounds that you hear and pray for whatever it is each sound brings up in your mind. So if you sat for 30 seconds in the church, you would hear voices, the fan from the high-efficiency heating system, other things. But just be silent for a minute or 30 seconds and listen to all the sounds you hear and pray for whatever that sound brings to your mind. All right? And you can do that anywhere, pretty much any time. Don't do it while you're driving. There's other things you can do while you drive, but not that. Because, you know. So that's kind of the 1 minute, 30 second Sabbaths. There are also lots of ways to use pictures for prayers. So print some pictures of special people or places. You can even print a collage if you want to. And put them in places where you will see them. On the fridge, near your door, where you hang your keys or put your purse. And every time you notice the picture, say a prayer for the people in the picture. So whether it's pictures of your family, pictures of people around the world you want to pray for, pictures of special places you want to pray for. The key to that is to change the pictures or change the photo, where they are pretty regularly, because as human beings, one of the things that works in our brain is we stop seeing things, mm-hmm. or we stop noticing things that we see all the time. So you need to keep your photos fresh, either in their composition or in their placement, for that to continue to work. Because you will just stop seeing them. We just had a conversation at 8 o'clock with people about, well, where are the fire extinguishers? It's like, well, the great big red signs that say fire extinguisher here, but...
You said there's what, like maybe...
There's eight or nine of them in the building, so...
I don't think I've ever noticed one, a single one of them.
So, but again, you know, one of the things evolution has done for us as humans is things that are part of our regular lives, we stop noticing so that our brains can do other things.
We can pick up saber-toothed tigers when we need to.
That's right, exactly. Kind of a takeoff of those photo prayers is, if you're like me, you get Christmas cards still. Mm-hmm. And I hate to throw them away because I just got them and they're people I care about. So I've done this a couple of times in a couple of different ways. Hold on to them. And you can do it through the whole year. Count how many cards you have and figure out how many that is per week. And every week, take a card and pray for the people who sent you the card that week. You can just pray for them. Or you can take it to another level and then send them a note saying that you're praying for them that week. I have done that throughout the course of a year, and at least with my card list, it turns out to be one or two people a week, which is really doable. The other thing I've done is done it during Lent. And for the 6 weeks of Lent, divided my cards into six piles and prayed for 1/6 of the people who sent me cards each week in Lent. Again, it's another way to kind of remember, bring God into your life, and hold on to something. And so many of the people who send us cards, we only hear from once a year. They only hear from us once a year. So it's kind of nice to think about them and to send them a note and say, I just wanted you to know I was praying for you this week. Hope all was well. And what I found when I did that the first time was I got a lot of notes back of people. How did you know that I needed to be prayed for this week? It's like, I didn't. I just randomly picked up the card that was next on the pile. But okay, I'm glad it was helpful. So that's something to think about. Couple of other ideas. One is to do a prayer walk. And we do this with the kids sometimes. Take a walk in your neighborhood or go someplace different and take a walk. But your neighborhood is great. And really pay attention to what you see and what you hear. And pray for whatever triggers your consciousness. So, and we're all told to get more exercise, right? So taking a short walk in your neighborhood is a way to get your steps in and connect with God. And if you're doing it with other people, you can talk about what you see and what you hear and see what different people see and hear. It's fun to do with the youth group because they see and hear really different things, but making them be quiet for a minute is hard. One time we did it, we kept resetting the timer every time one of them talked, and it was like 15 minutes before we got a minute of silence out of them. Because they're teenagers, and that's what they do. But,
I just had a comment. One thing, too, is a lot of times when you are in a neighborhood, and I never knew this, when I was working, I worked in home care, and usually we were never going to the house that looked really nice. Mm-hmm. We were going to the house where the grass wasn't cut, you know, things were kind of all over the place. So a lot of times, I learned to see that differently and realized there's probably somebody sick that's living there.
What is home care?
That's like where nurses or other health providers go in to the home to help people.
Okay.
I was a dietitian, so I would teach about the special diet.
I mean, is it on a regular basis, or only when somebody's having trouble and needs someone to come in?
This was. I worked for the visiting nurses, so it was the doctor would recommend it if people were having trouble. But that's one thing I noticed even in my neighborhood. There's this one house that never looks taken care of, but all the other houses around are. And I always think somebody is ill.
Somebody's struggling there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some kind of struggling going on there.
Pardon? No, I'm a dietitian. Yeah. I'm not working right now, but that's what I do.
Do we totally organic? And
no, actually. I mean, I'm trying to. Some things, but not everything. Yeah.
There's the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, right?
So anyway, so you can do that. And like I said, your own neighborhood is a place to start, but then going somewhere else. It's also amazing how many things you don't see. That same thing we were talking about of, you know, what we see all the time, we stop seeing or stop noticing. So really pay attention to what you see will change maybe the way you see your neighborhood. Not about prayer, but one of the things, I have to suggested in the past, is, and I've done it before as a Lenten discipline, we may do it again this year, we'll see, is I suggest that everybody take a week off from church, but you don't get to stay home and read the paper and drink coffee. You have to go out and see where your neighbors who aren't in church are at 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. The last time we did it, it was amazing how many people are at Home Depot. It's, you know, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. But, you know, when we talk about inviting people to church, what we always hear is, oh, I don't know anybody who doesn't go to church. Like, I bet you do. But we, because our habit is we get up and we come here, we don't see, you know, what goes on while we're here. So
we have a lot of Catholics in my neighborhood, so mm-hmm. they go on Saturday and they're mm-hmm. reading the paper on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So, you know, but change your perspective. But you can do the same thing, and again, to connect with prayer if you want to, drive a different way on one of the, you know, when I go to Wegmans, I have a way I go, right? Drive a different way and pray for what you notice as you go, because I promise you will notice more things. So, one of the other things about talking about cars and driving is listening car rides. I don't know about you, my radio is left on in the car. So when I turn on the car, the radio turns on, or the CD or whatever it is I'm listening to when I stop. Turn off the sound system. And while you drive, just listen. Listen to God and to what God might be saying to you while you drive. Now, don't close your eyes. This is not meditation. This is, you still need to pay attention to the roads. But listen for what God might be saying to you. Gene Robinson, who was the Bishop of New Hampshire, said that one of the most effective spiritual practices he had ever done was to just sit and try to feel the love of God. Because we talk about God loving us all the time, but we don't really let ourselves experience it that much. So to just find a time and a place that you can just sit and try to feel the love of God. Try to experience the love of God for you. And that's something you can do in the car. And for a lot of us, being in the car is the only time we might have to be able to do that. Because once you get home, there's stuff to do. And once you get where you're going, there's stuff to do. But in the car, that's something you might be able to do. And then kind of the last one I picked up, and then I'll let you guys all talk, is something called Secret Helpers Week, which I really liked from this book. Talked about, this is particularly for households of more than one member, but you can do it if you live by yourself. Each person in the household gets a turn to be the secret helper. And the goal is to try to be helpful to each person in your household without them catching on that you're the secret helper. So if you're playing a game, and I mean, obviously this was planned for children. So if you're playing it as a game, the goal is not to get caught. All right? So you could, so you don't know who it is. The what they suggest is that you have something you draw, and there's a mark on one of the items. So every week you draw like a wooden heart, then one has a cross on, written on it or something. And you don't let anybody see. But whoever drew the one that's marked is the secret helper. And they try not to get caught being the secret helper. And at the end of the week then they have to say, what did they do for everybody, and, you know, see if anybody else knew. So they have to report how they were helpers. You can't just not do anything and not get caught. Yeah. You have to actually do stuff.
That would be fun to do.
Yeah, it would be fun to do. For people who live alone, pick somebody in your life that you're going to be the secret helper for and try to figure out how to be helpful to them, again, without getting caught. That's the clue.
Or just rotate through your friends.
Rotate through your friends.
A week for each person.
That's right. So think about how you can be especially helpful without being noticed. So, and the talk about that was that comes from the scripture, you know, when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Mm-hmm. Same idea. When you help people, don't let people know that you're helping them. Just do it. But let it be between you and God. So those were the ones that I kind of pulled out that I thought were interesting. Obviously, use your creativity and come up with ways that you might bring an awareness of the presence of God, an awareness of the love of God, a connection with God into your particular life, the way your particular life works. That's the goal of all spiritual disciplines, is to bring an awareness of the presence of God into your daily life. So you need to think about what your daily life looks like and where can you add in ways to lift the presence of God to your consciousness. And again, as I always say with these things, if something doesn't work for you, don't do it. You know, if it's not working, stop. And just because something works for a while doesn't mean it will work forever. And so we do tend, and I'm not sure if this is because we're Americans or because we're human or both, we do tend to beat ourselves up a little bit because we think we should be gold medalists at everything we do. And all spiritual discipline is like any other discipline. It takes time. I mean, those of us who have re-energized our trips to the gym this January as part of our New Year's resolution know that, you know, you don't get on the treadmill and run 4.5 miles an hour for an hour. That's not how that works. You go to the treadmill and you walk at 3 miles an hour for 10 minutes and you're winded and drenched with sweat. And then the next day, you walk 3 miles an hour for 10 minutes and you're winded and drenched with sweat. But eventually you develop more and more stamina and are able to do things more and more. The same thing is true with spiritual disciplines. You start something and feel like, I'm not getting anywhere with this. And then eventually it just clicks. So there's a fine line between beating yourself up because this isn't working and giving it enough time to get the muscle memory going for it. And where that is for you, you have to figure out, right? There are reasons that not everybody runs marathons.
Yes.
Because not everybody can stick with it long enough to develop that kind of skill. There are reasons not all of us do any particular thing, right? I have friends who ride 20-mile bike rides, and I love that they do that, and it's never going to be me. So, you know, the same thing's true with spiritual disciplines. Find the ones that you're able to keep working at even when you don't feel it all the time.
Would you go back and refresh my memory? The term spiritual disciplines encompasses what all?
Anything you do that connects you to God.
Oh.
There are traditional spiritual disciplines that, as I mentioned at the beginning of this class, were developed in the Middle Ages. And they worked perfectly well for people in the Middle Ages because it brought the presence of God into their daily lives. And those are the things you've heard about, like meditation, Lectio Divina, that is holy reading. Hospitality, I'm losing a couple, but you get the idea. Mm-hmm. The ones you've heard about, and then if you pick up a book that says, you know, these are the 7 spiritual disciplines, mm-hmm. They'll tell you about them. They don't work as well to bring the presence of God into our daily lives because our daily lives are very different. And they are now things you have to make time to do in different ways. And that's not the point of them. So we're still working on developing what new disciplines for modern people with the way our lives work. Now, the example I used at the beginning of the class was, meditation is a really great practice when you live in a world where light is very expensive, and so for most people, most of the time, once the sun goes down, there's nothing to do. So particularly in climates like ours, you have parts of the year where you have long periods of time where you can meditate and do contemplative prayer, right? Because you have long periods of time where it's dark and you just want to sit near the fire and there's nothing much you can do because you can't afford enough light to really be able to see to do any other kind of work. So meditation and contemplation fit really well into that life. This is not true for us. It gets dark and we turn on lights, right? So our lives don't involve long periods of where there's nothing else we can do. If anything, our lives are the reverse. We have so much to do and we are so overscheduled and overprogrammed that when we have a little bit of time where there's nothing to do, it's so precious we maybe don't want to do anything at all with it, or feel like we should have to do anything. That we feel guilty. That's right. So, you know, that's an example of how one of the spiritual disciplines that was perfectly designed for the life that designed it is kind of a problem for our lives. So we have to figure out other ways to connect with God and to experience the presence of God, kind of in the midst. I don't want to say we have to multitask our experience with God, because that's not quite what I mean, but we have to find ways to experience the presence of God that don't involve changing our lives in ways that are maybe not particularly really doable. We read the book a few years ago, but there's a good book out called Flunking Sainthood that is about, it's the story of a woman who tried all the traditional spiritual disciplines one at a time and basically failed at all of them, but she talks about how she tried them and what happened for her and why they didn't work. And it's really a very good book that both kind of explores ways to encounter God and also why we shouldn't maybe feel guilty if a particular way of encountering God doesn't work. So if you, and I probably have a copy of it if you want to borrow it, but it's a very good book. All right, anything else?
I know that it didn't start in modern times, but I just think it's another really good reason why we have special disciplines during Lent and Advent, because we're preparing our hearts to receive something. And, you know, that's not necessarily every day of that time, but it makes you mindful. And for a short period of time, you can be very intentional with something.
Well, and taking on a particular discipline for Lent is a really good way to start, because it has an end point. And so if it's not working, you'll know it by the end of 6 weeks, and you can say, okay, this wasn't working. And if it is, then it's something you can go on.
How about reading a book
absolutely.
Of a certain type?
Absolutely. Spiritual reading?
Qualified. Okay.
Absolutely. So, as a matter of fact, we're doing a book study for Lent this year. I'll give you a sneak preview. The book we're going to read for Lent this year is called Inspired, and it's by Rachel Held Evans, who is a writer who, she just died this past year, but she, a young woman, she grew up in an evangelical church, and over the course of her adult life became an Episcopalian. And the book is about ways to approach Scripture, particularly the Old Testament. So,
are you going to be?
Absolutely. And we're going to do a book discussion at the Small Plates time.
Oh, wonderful! So, do you have the book now?
I'll put the sign-up sheet up. Lent starts the end of February, so I'll put the sign-up sheet up in a week or so.
And I can't get the book.
You can get it now if you want. It's you can get it on Amazon. It's
oh, I meant new.
No, I don't have it now.
Okay.
You can get it at Amazon for like $11, and we're selling them for $10. So,
When will you have them?
Probably the week that we start.
Oh, okay.
Week before we start talking about it.
Okay.
So, have to get to closer to that yet.
Okay.
So,
not a shortage of things to do between now and
then. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's a sneak preview for you for coming to Small Place. Get a look into what we're going to ask. For Lent, so we'll
start. It's part of your class here.
Yeah, we'll do it. We usually do a book discussion for Lent, so that'll be what it is. And the live discussion will be Sunday morning, and then last year I did Facebook Live, which didn't work very well. I think probably this year I'll put up some little videos that carry some things to think about for the book, and maybe have some online conversation. But so anyway, but Sunday morning we'll always do the live class because I can get a critical mass of people.
That's right.
On Sunday morning. All right. Thank you all for coming. And the next Small Plates thing will be the Lenten book discussion. So we'll start the Ash Wednesday is the 26th of February. So the Sunday after that, which I think is March 1st, 2nd, something like that. 3rd maybe, whatever the first Sunday in March is. Is when we'll start. All right.
Very good.
And we have annual meeting next Sunday at this time. So come
at 9 o'clock.
So come for
be here.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock for the annual meeting. We convene at 9. We do the election. We share reports.
And is it held in the church?
In the parish hall.
Oh, in the parish hall.
Yeah. Okay. Coffee and food to be provided. So.